Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody! Welcome to Curio Podcast, episode 54.
What are we talking about?
Not guns. We already did that. So tired, everybody. I am so tired. Cassie's so tired. We're all whacked out. We are talking about neurogenesis, which obviously
We need
We need some of that right now.
So do you know what neurogenesis is?
It's when neurons are born.
When they're born?
When they're born inside our brains, inside our hippocampus.
And Kimmy texted me.
Olfactory bulb.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Wasn't that cool?
Kimmy texted me yesterday from a Dodger game, and it was just a picture of the field, and then the underneath it said neurogenesis. And it made me laugh so hard because we've been studying about neurogenesis.
And I'm not a baseball fan. No, it goes way too slow for
it's
me.
It's pretty boring.
It goes slow and I can't, my attention span is just not there. And
what do you do the whole time you're there?
Well, yesterday I researched neurogenesis.
Yay!
And that led me down the psychedelics rabbit hole. That's right. A whole nother discussion. But yeah, I did a lot of reading.
There's a lot of time for that at a baseball game.
Yeah.
Did they win?
I don't know. You don't know. I don't even know. I
Sorry,
think the
Dodgers.
Giants were up when we left, but...
Oh, you guys left early?
Yeah, we left early. We got there, like, right after they started, and we left after the seventh inning stretch.
Most people in L.A. leave an event early, concerts, sporting events, etc., because the traffic is so bad.
It shaves about an hour off your commute.
Right.
So, yeah, we got home so fast.
There have been times where, like, at the Hollywood Bowl, I accidentally stayed till the end.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Having parked there, now I take the shuttle in.
Yeah.
But one time I parked there in stacked parking, and I was sitting in my car for close to 2 hours waiting to get out of there.
Well, even if you try to leave early in stacked parking,
you can't.
You can't. You're locked in. Right. So, yeah, so we take the shuttle too. Mm-hmm. It's fun too.
It is fun. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we'll start talking about neurogenesis.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
My time. I Kimmy.
Yes.
Can adults grow new nerve cells?
They can.
Remember when we were growing up, we were always told that you couldn't grow new brain cells. Do you remember that?
Right. And that all the ones you killed
were just dead.
They're just dead.
Our parents used to tell us, like, if you hit your head or you do drugs or you drink, you're going to kill brain cells. Our teachers used to tell this too. You're going to lose brain cells and that'll be it.
Yep. Never get them back.
Nope.
Gone forever.
We were going to be dumb. But in the last 30, 40 years, they've discovered, we're not that old, all right? They've discovered that your brain actually does regenerate nerve cells.
Yeah.
What did you find out?
I found out lots of things. Well, the definition, I always like to start with definition, is the process by which new neurons are formed in the brain. And that's from the University of Queensland. Most neurogenesis occurs in utero. So that's where all the, that's where our brains grow, the neurons that make us breathe, our heartbeat, you know, all the basic stuff pretty much sets the foundation for learning. But in the hippocampus and olfactory bulb, neurogenesis can continue throughout our lives.
Right.
Which is really exciting. The hippocampus controls learning, formation of memory, regulation of emotions, and spatial navigation.
Which you're not very good at.
Me?
Wait. Oh, no, that was your eyesight. Never mind.
My
not your brain.
I'm good at smelling things. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
We're learning new smells. Mm-hmm. Smells are important.
They really are. That's why they're tied to memories.
Yeah. It's one of the strongest trigger for memory.
Right.
Is smell.
Why don't I just read these two lists I made?
Okay.
So there are things that you can do. So when you're born and you have these neural cells, they're basically like stem cells that your body uses, and you're born with a lot of them. They happen in utero, and that's what helps you learn how to talk and walk and grow and breathe and all that. What we're talking about more so is, as an adult, the your ability to actually still create these. And your brain can create, when you're over 40, up to 700 new neural cells a day.
Oh.
Yeah. So
wow.
I think one of the TED Talks I listened to said by the time you're 50, every brain cell basically in your brain has been replaced by a new one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Weird, right?
We almost have new brains.
You're like 9 months closer to a new brain than I am.
I would have done so many more drugs in my 20s if I'd known that my brain was going to regenerate. It's a good thing I didn't know that.
Okay. Here are some things that can increase your neurogenesis. Learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
Sex.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yeah.
And from what I read, specifically running.
Yeah, running.
Running. I'm not a runner. I've got wide hips.
I don't like to run.
I'm not a runner. But they kept saying running is the most beneficial for your brain. Which explains runner's brain. I mean, people use that as a term, right? People who run a lot.
Yeah.
That euphoria that they get.
The endorphins.
The endorphins, yeah.
I used to do the elliptical.
Yeah.
For long swaths of time at a session, like an hour or more. And I would have the most amazing creative epiphanies. And I loved it. But then I'd go home, take a shower, and be like, I'm too tired to do anything now.
I can't act on all of this creativity. All right. Some other things that increase your neurogenesis. Healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
Red wine.
Red wine.
Vitamin E.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, get this. Chewing.
Oh, yes. Soft foods? No good.
No.
No. That
crunchy
kills them.
Foods. Yes.
Crunchy foods.
What?
Right?
Mastication helps your brain, people. Chew some celery today.
Crunchy food. I love that. I was like, I love crunchy food. I do.
Do potato chips count?
Maybe not because of the saturated fat.
Which is bad.
Bad, bad.
All right, some more good things. Calorie restrictions or intermittent. I was thinking of eating. Intermediate fasting.
Oh.
Omega-3 fatty acids, dark chocolate, blueberries.
Yes.
Mindfulness and meditation.
Yep.
And positive thoughts and emotions.
Oh.
Some things that can increase your neurogenesis. I feel like the three most important are learning new things, exercise, and eating healthy foods.
Eating good
foods. Are probably the three most. The chewing thing fascinated me. And I heard that I was really like, that's not real. What's happening?
Well, I find that, so I think better if I'm thinking and doing something else with my hands or my mouth.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. For some reason, everything comes together. So I need to be doing something with my hands. If I'm just sitting there trying to think.
No.
Mm-mm. Doesn't work very good. Well, that explains why I struggled in school so much, because you're just supposed to sit there and be attentive. You're not supposed to move. You're not supposed to eat. You're not supposed to chew gum.
You're not supposed to talk.
You're not supposed to talk. You're just supposed to sit there. But if I'm doodling or usually I have something in my hand, a rubber band.
Right.
Something. Folding a piece of paper over and over again.
Did you ever get into the fidget spinners?
No, I hate those.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Those
horrible.
Are too bossy. Like, I can figure out what my hands need to do by myself, bitches.
Motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's some things that decrease your neurogenesis. Stress.
Yep.
Everybody get ready. Stress. Sleep deprivation.
Ooh, yeah.
Old age. Alcohol besides red wine.
Yes, lots of alcohol.
Like, lots of alcohol, yeah. A couple of a week or a day aren't going to really... bad food, like we said, saturated fats. And soft foods. I think that was a study from Japan. They found that.
Yeah, and they hadn't quite teased out all the information on
like
that.
Like why that happens?
Yeah.
I wonder if it has something to do with the movement of the jaw. It's such a new science. I'm excited about it.
It is. It's all very cutting edge. Depression also inhibits you, which I thought was interesting. A sedentary lifestyle. So if you're sitting around eating ice cream and getting drunk, no good, folks.
Is it a cart before the horse thing? Are you depressed because you don't have as much neurogenesis, or do you not have as much neurogenesis because you're depressed?
I was under the impression that depression inhibits neurogenesis, which makes sense because you're depressed, you're kind of stuck in this hamster wheel and you're not having new ideas.
Right.
You're not exposing yourself to new experiences. That was another one on the list of
things.
Novel experiences, having an enriched environment.
A good social life, seeing people.
Yeah. Exchanging ideas and, you know, all of these things kind of play together, but when you're depressed, you don't want to do any of those things.
Yeah.
SSRIs, antidepressants, are also good for neurogenesis.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's because it alleviates the depression.
Right. It's probably a combination.
And it gets your serotonin moving around the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Exposure to sunlight is also very good for
neurogenesis. Really? I didn't read that.
Yep. Mental exercises, mental games, made me think of my dad who does the crossword puzzle every single day in the LA Times.
Right.
He finishes it every day.
Without Google?
Oh, no. Lord, no.
Oh, he uses Google?
No.
Oh.
no, Google. He has a crossword puzzle dictionary by his chair, and that's it, and a regular dictionary.
Right.
So that's it.
Wow.
But he also, and my dad's very sharp. He's 93. He's very sharp still.
Yeah.
He likes to learn things. He likes maps. He likes to tell stories.
I love maps too.
I know. I love maps. Oh. But he, like, it when I look around his house, he doesn't have a lot of stuff. Everything he has are like mementos or pictures of family, things that inspire memories. Books he reads all the time.
Yeah.
All the time he reads. And he eats very well, and he doesn't exercise that much anymore. But when he was younger, he was known for pacing.
I remember that. I also remember that he was very sort of strict with his routine.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing for neurogenesis.
I'm the same way, and I think it would be a good thing, at least in this instance, for he and I, because if I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear, right. What I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat, when I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Right.
If all that's taken off the table, it reduces stress, and then I can go about the business of doing those things because they're rote, and I can be thinking about other things.
Right.
Hands are busy,
yep.
Right? Washing dishes, la, 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 folding laundry, whatever.
This is why I started wearing jeans and t-shirts. Remember when we were younger and I would wear all those crazy outfits?
Oh, yeah.
They took a long time to put together.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I thought to myself, I don't want to think about this anymore. And so I just have, like, lots of jeans and t-shirts, and that's it. And I don't think about my clothes. I just put them on.
Yeah. Sometimes I get dressed and I think, you know, I get a little twitchy, like, this is what I always look like. Like, I, you know, just
nobody cares.
But then I think about other people who, like, it's a form of self-expression and creativity.
Right.
And I kind of think, oh, I wish I was, like, invested in that. But I'm not, so whatever.
So
I mean,
whatever,
I don't really care. I'm not going to try to be invested because I just want to be comfortable.
So why would people want to promote neurogenesis? Adult neurogenesis. Why would someone be concerned about wanting to make sure their brain is producing new cells?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, that's... Don't we want more cells in our brains? Like, I want to have a fit brain when I'm older.
Right.
I want to be able to do crossword puzzles when I'm 93. I want to learn new things. I want to be interested in the world. And I don't know. It's
exciting to me because of the fact that we did grow up thinking that we only had so many brain cells.
Right.
And that used to scare me when I was younger.
I remember having a vision of my brain just like...
Like shrinking?
Shrinking away like cotton candy in the rain. Just
right. Oh no, I had a beer. There goes some more cells.
Oh no.
Which maybe the beer gets rid of bad cells.
Well, the beer might alleviate stress.
Yeah.
I mean, in small amounts. We don't want to be drinking a 6-pack a day or 2 6-packs a day.
So it has to do with neuroplasticity, the nervous system's adaptive mm-hmm. capability to change itself over a lifetime. The brain can create new or strengthen existing connections between nerve cells. And that actually happens pretty quickly. And I know we both sort of came upon it separately, the role that psychedelics can play
mm-hmm.
in this neural connectivity and neuroplasticity.
Yep.
And I saw a chart that was talking about ketamine and I think mushrooms and LSD and something else that I didn't know what it was. R-O-D or R-O-I or I don't know. But ketamine helped with the least amount of sort of psychedelic effect. But the effects didn't last as long as LSD.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed pictures of these neural pathways that were created. And the LSD one
that.
Had tons of little branches coming off of it. And it was all crazy. So I've never done any of that stuff. But I know you have. And you're still interested in it.
I am. I'd say I'm a fan, but I'm not. I'm more of a advocate,
right?
I guess. Yeah.
And I think attitudes are changing about it. I mean, people are coming out, you know, in society saying, mm-hmm. I microdose this every day,
yeah,
for anxiety and depression and all that. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I saw that same chart, and it was really cool. I started looking at pictures of the brain and neurogenesis and action and everything, and I thought, God, that looks like space.
Oh yeah.
And then I went down
roots.
Roots, yeah. And then I went down a whole nother rabbit hole.
Oh no.
I won't expose anybody to right now.
Did you have an existential emergency?
Space is like our brain, and our brain is space. And oh, was there a bug on me?
Yeah.
Cassie just smashed a bug on my forehead, guys.
Sorry.
What was it?
It was a mosquito.
Oh. Hmm.
I got it.
Thanks.
No, you won't have a giant thing on your head sucking the neurogenesis out.
Don't kill my neurogenesis. So, yeah, with psychedelics, that was really interesting. And it makes perfect sense because your brain isn't, talk about a novel experience, right?
Right, something new you've never done before.
So with LSD, what happens in your brain, like normally, as we go about our business throughout the day, different parts of our brain are engaged with different activities, different sensory regions, you know, depending on whatever we're doing. So that we're kind of focused, our brain is focused on these specific things. When you're on LSD or mushrooms, I haven't done any other psychedelics than those two, barriers are broken. So your whole freaking brain is lit up.
Mm-hmm.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're engaged in a task like drawing, for instance, it's not just you're holding a pen or a pencil and paper and that is a isolated activity. It's everything. And it's so hard to describe. Like, people report having sensory overlap. So...
like smelling a vision or you seeing a smell or
feel of whatever song. You're looking at. You can feel a song. Like it's
synesthesia. Synesthesia. I can't say it.
We know what you're talking about. So when that happens, I mean, what you've got to be growing neurons, right? Because
yeah.
It's a very novel experience.
What is the difference between mushrooms and LSD? I mean, the things that happen, the effects.
I think it's different for everybody. I think it's similar, but people have different interpretations of the experience.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have one friend who's like, I'd much rather do mushrooms than LSD because I've had better experiences with that. And then other people who've said, you know, mushrooms, no way. They fry my brain. It's like way
oh, wow.
too intense. I'd rather do LSD. So the dosing matters. And the environment
mm-hmm.
is key,
mm-hmm.
is absolutely key.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do these things, you need to be in a place, you need to start out mentally aware and ready and open. You need to be around people you trust. You need to be in an environment that is not overstimulating.
Like an Oingo Boingo concert?
Like, well, that's a story right there.
Woo! Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think being in a natural environment is best.
Mm-hmm.
It's visually less stimulating and... I'm going to go off the rails here in hippy-dippy land.
Do it.
The vibe is better.
Yeah.
It's the energy. The vibration is clean and it feels good and it's natural and it's supportive. I don't know how else to say it. Like, when you're around a bunch of trees and rocks and dirt or out in the desert, it's, you become one with your environment. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's another experience people have is this
connectivity.
Epiphany of connectivity.
Yeah.
And being one with everything. So as far as mushrooms and LSD go, I think it depends on your mindset and your environment, but I think the effects are pretty much the same.
Okay. And what about afterwards, like days afterwards? How do you feel physically, mentally?
I think that the openness and the connectivity, those two experiences, I don't know that they ever go away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. It's a game changer for realsies. But my experience has been, you know, once you come down, the coming down part, like when you're in that kind of no man's land of like, oh, I don't think I'm high. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I am. I just want to go to sleep, but I can't, you know, like you're coming down. And then I'd say that lasts, I don't know, a couple hours or so. And then you're down and it's done and it's over.
There's not like a residual like dip in your mood or anything like that?
Not that I remember. Mm-hmm. There might be. I don't know how. It probably depends on how much you take and everything and the severity. But yeah, there's probably a little dip. But overall, I'd say it's absolutely worth it. I think everybody should have a psychedelic journey in a very safe, supportive way. I absolutely believe that.
Kim's PSA for the day.
Yeah, do it.
I have a story about ketamine. I met someone. I'd actually been hearing about ketamine, about its effects on people who have depression and bipolar, bipolar depression. And I met someone who said that he went in for an operation, and part of his anesthesia was ketamine. It was one of the things that they put in there.
Oh.
Now, he has bipolar 2, or had bipolar 2, and this was 5 years ago.
Hmm.
He woke up from the surgery. He didn't know who he was.
Oh, wow.
He thought he was a professor at Harvard, and he was giving a lecture to all the nurses there about the theory of relativity. He's not a professor at all. But his bipolar symptoms went away.
Mm-hmm.
From this one dose of ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been already looking at, they've got ketamine clinics everywhere. And I didn't even know that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know much about ketamine.
I don't either. I had just started hearing that people are using it for depression and bipolar because I'm hooked into that world for my daughter. But it's, you know, I want to learn more, but it looks really promising as long as it's done in a, you know,
it needs to be done in a really respectful, mindful way.
Right.
Yeah.
A safe way. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to learn more about, ketamine and all of that stuff. There's a lot of research going on right now and it's really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an organization called MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies.
Okay.
And they've been very proactive about it, the research and getting that information out, collecting stories from people, and they're advocates of cannabis as medicine also. Andrew Weil is a fan of MAPS. And he's been studying psychedelics and cannabis since the 60s.
Right.
I listened to a podcast today with him, and he was saying in 1968 he did a bunch of research on cannabis, and, you know,
obviously not legally.
I don't think so.
Well, it wouldn't have been, yeah.
So he said, yeah, after I did the research, look, there it is. I'm all itchy.
I didn't get it in time.
Oh, that's okay. As long as it, like, doesn't give me a disease that goes right into my brain. He was saying, oh, after I finished my research, he was quite younger at the time, I thought cannabis would be legal within 5 years. It's like, I can't believe it took this long.
Yeah.
It's a freaking plant. It's been used for thousands of years for medicinal uses.
Right.
Fiber and everything else. And so we're having another psychedelic revolution and plant-based medicine revolution mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it will all come together.
Anything else to add, Kimmy?
I don't think so. Are you going to do anything? Are you going to? I do have something to add. I have questions.
You have questions?
Yeah.
For me?
So are you going to actively, like, do more aerobic exercise? Or do you have a plan to, like, move forward with your neurogenesis project?
Well, I just started my ceramics class, so I'm learning new things every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already signed up for the next one for fall semester.
Good for you. Yay.
I hope to have sex soon.
Now, I read that sexual experience.
Oh, okay. So well, then I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated by the chewing one. Now I want to do an experiment where I like mindfully chew very chewy foods and see what happens. Crunchy, chewy foods.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to me. I already, you know, walk the dogs a lot. But I was thinking yesterday, like, you know, I would. Shoulda, coulda, woulda add some sort of aerobic exercise.
Yeah. It's a tricky one.
I don't know.
I like aerobic exercise. I can't run, though. It hurts my body.
Yeah,
it hurts my joints, and then I feel all the loose bits bouncing around, and it freaks me out. It's just a sensory experience I don't enjoy. I'm also, you know, in my late 40s. I've had a couple kids, so bladder doesn't cooperate. I know, too much information. Sorry, listeners. But yeah, it's exciting.
Well, what have you decided to do anything differently?
Well, I was thinking about the aerobic exercise part. How do I do that? We have a two-story house, so I'm up and down the stairs all day long, but right. I've done that so much it's like
it's whatever. Yeah,
it's whatever. But I can walk up the hill, you know what I mean? I can get my blood pumping that
well,
way.
Well, like I was telling you before we went on air, the school that I'm attending is on the side of a hill. It's Glendale College. And I was up and down stairs, mm-hmm. like to the point where I felt like I had to crawl back to my car at the end of the day. So, I mean, that's new.
Oh, I also read that you should do aerobic exercise before learning new things.
Oh.
And that even speeds up the process.
So what if you were to drink red wine while you're eating dark chocolate, while you're running, while someone's trying to teach you something? That's an excellent...
We should do experiments.
Experiment, Kimmy. Mm-hmm. I'll throw blueberries at you. And a squirt bottle of red wine. And fish. Just open your mouth. And then make you do some mindfulness meditation.
Yes.
Yes.
Meditation.
I mean, we both already do that. I feel like what this taught me more than anything is sort of an awareness, like to be mindful of when I am doing one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just try to enjoy my life and be more social probably would be a good one for me. I tend to retract into my shell.
Social stuff is hard sometimes, though. I can perform socially in small bits
for only so long. Yeah,
yeah, and then I have to retreat.
Right.
Just can't, you know. I think that the stress at that point is killing brain cells. It's like, I gotta go, folks. I can't.
You
do
can
this
have
anymore.
15 minutes of my social time.
Yep,
that's it.
That's it for the day.
Any more questions?
I think that's it.
We should make up a song to help our brain cells grow. Brain, brain, brain. Brain, brain, brain cells.
They didn't mention learning an instrument or a new language, and I thought that was odd.
They didn't?
I didn't see it anywhere.
I didn't either. Maybe they're just trying to encourage people to learn anything.
Yeah.
But I do know, I mean, I've read other things that say that language and instruments are...
brain growers.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm always on a language journey myself.
Good for you, Cass.
I never get very far, but I keep trying.
Now you're learning the language of farts.
This one's beautiful. Listen to this. No, that was horrible. That sounded like an alarm clock. Hold on. No.
Curio Podcast is a Porch Swing production. Big thanks to all of our contributors and special guests. For more info, please visit Twitter at Podcast Curio, Curio Podcast on Facebook, and CurioPodcast.org. And remember, Curio Podcast loves you.
Yay!